Stay cool and choose from over 40 in-stock ceiling fans for under $100, plus an 11% rebate at Menards. We carry the largest selection of in-stock Hunter ceiling fans, available in a variety of designs, finishes, and features. Create the perfect look and lighting for any room with a new Hunter ceiling fan. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of Hunter ceiling fans, plus the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. The NPP government, while in opposition, criticized the NDC heavily for bringing in the Ameri power plant. A criticism so bad. Someone in the Dr. Baumia campaign today, an energy expert, has said it led to a situation where Ameri became a name that could not be used or kept for the power project. So, does the government, NPP, have the moral right to use the same plant, 6 out of 10, relocate them to the Ashanti region? And is it true that this was done at a cost of a whopping $38 million, not Ghana cedis? Where is the proof of that? The PURC has been cracking the whip, and this time on the ECG bosses, as in its board members, and is giving them a fine to pay in excess of 5 million, 5.9 million in fact. The members of the board say the PURC does not have that power. Slap these fines on the members. Bottom line, they won't pay. What must happen? The Economic and Organized Crime Office, EOCO, has issued a report clearing the Road Ministry of corruption allegations by the Venerable Professor Stephen Adai. They say his comments or criticism or allegations do not hold any truth. They say his allegations were general in the context in the country. And when he was called upon to provide evidence, he could not substantiate the allegations. He made this allegation of people, contractors, paying $1 million to secure contracts at the ministry, not too long after the minister himself had said publicly that, quote, there were thieves and corrupt people in his office. How do we take the EOCO report and questions as to whether it had a mandate to deal with the question of corruption? Along those lines, the court has eventually concluded a trial that has been going on for so long and has convicted Sedina Tamaklo Atieno, former CEO of Maslok, and Daniel Axim, former operations manager of Maslok, to prison. they have cost the nation so much. 3.19 million was stolen while they were at Maslok and willfully caused 1.97 million financial loss to the state. They were found to have made unauthorized commitments, resulting in financial obligations for the government to the tune of 61.74 million Ghana cedis. The main culprit, the court made an order, the government or the Attorney General should take steps to recover the money from her. She's not in the country. In fact, she got bail and since has not been available. What that does mean? Is this some Pyrrhic victory of sort? Empty judgment, so to speak. Is it too little, too late on the part of the Attorney General? We will also get on the political front ahead of the 2024 elections. Alan Tremating has mobilized a coalition, an alliance for revolutionary change. Will they make a dent? 9 different entities joining the movement for change. There's also those former independent presidential candidates who, including Joseph Oseyebua, who have also formed what they call the Grand Coalition Ghana. There are also 9 of them. Will they make any dent in the fortunes of the NPP and the NDC? Stay with us. Be right back to deal with the vex matters. This is Newsfile. It's your most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfile, we put Ghana first. I'm Samson Ladianyanini. And here is my take. I title it, Sir Sam Jonah, what a patriot. Anytime he's had the opportunity to speak, tell me the truth, that you don't feel proud that all is not lost. He says that journalists who are the guardians of the public conscience are called to rise above the fray and to champion the cause of truth, justice, and national unity. You're speaking at the GJA's 75th anniversary launch. And many have been very happy that it gives us fodder to reflect on ourselves as media and journalists, and also as a country and in the manner in which we are governed and being governed. There is such rot revealed at the scholarship secretariat presently, that listening to some of the insane and ugly, lame defenses that are offered. Just this morning, I was contacted by someone whose daughter, poor person in Nkoko, whose daughter sought and received approval for just about a little over 2,000 cedis so she could go to school. Despite the approval and evidence showing that that allocation or approval had been made, he never received that money, just 2,000 cedis. And yet, owners of medical facilities in prime areas like East Legon can receive so much for the scholarship. Some received together with their spouses They receive it so they can go abroad and their spouses also get some stipend. This is how insane things are getting. Listen to Sir Sam Jonah.
Depend heavily on your resolve to maintain the sanctity of your profession and your independence as the fourth estate. If I may say so, as we celebrate this landmark anniversary, let it be a call to all journalists to rise to the occasion, to uphold the values that have defined your noble profession, and to hopefully continue to be the beacon of hope and accountability our nation needs. Your association's inception came at a very pivotal time, as Ghana stood on the verge of defining its future, breaking free from colonial domination. Your association, predating even our nation's independence, became the crucible within which the fervent hopes and aspirations of a people were nurtured and expressed. Even before the formation of your association, nationalists like J.B. Dankwa, Kwame Nkrumah, Kofi Bacha, Eric Heyman, Kofi Bakun, T.D. Balfour, Kofi Bedu, amongst others, stood at the vanguard of the struggle, wielding the might of the pen and the unwavering spirit of truth as they used their voices for advocacy. Dreams of a liberated and thriving Ghana were expressed through purposeful writing and careful dissemination on the pain of punishment. These were patriots, men who were inspired and motivated by the ideals of a free and prosperous nation. Mr. Chairman, today, as we traverse the sands of time and reminisce the jubilation of independence through the trials of military regimes, the sometimes rancorous, other times harmonious, ebb and flow of democracy, we find the essence of journalism tested and exalted. The courage, the sacrifice, the unwavering commitment of your members have not only chronicled our nation's history, but they have been instrumental in shaping its discourse. Insightful and courageous citizens like Cameron Dodu, P.A.V. Ansa, Kweku Bakun, Bessie Pratt, Kwame Karikari, Kojo Yanka, Christine Agri, Elvis Aye, Sam Adeklag, Cabral Blay Amihir, Elizabeth Ohine, Haruna Atta, Kwame Amamo, Mike Egan, Vida Kranti Asante, Giftia Fenidazi, and many others have paved the way for many today. We observe a landscape altered by the winds of change. The once famous united front of objectivity and patriotism appears to some fragmented by the device of partisanship and the shadows of materialism. The noble quest for truth now competes with the allure of political patronage and its material rewards, a phenomenon which, if I may say so, threatens the sanctity of your independence, the Fourth Estate. Yet, this is the period when the vigilance of the Fourth Estate is most needed. As we stand on the precipice of yet another electoral milestone, which in my view is the most consequential, the ethos, the echoes of past violence, the whispers of disenfranchisement looms. And I don't think anyone needs reminding that the conduct of the electoral exercise, together with its outcome, is so important that the nation cannot afford bias and unprofessional coverage offered by members of your profession. I wish, Mr. Chairman, I could be more confident that the coverage will be professional, but I'm afraid I can't, given the rather unserious way in which another very important national issue, the most egregious abuse of the rights of millions whose livelihood has been designated completely by galamsey operations, has been treated by your profession. I don't know whether you are exhausted and indeed frustrated by the shameful lack of decisive action from the authorities to your interventions. All I know is that your association's pen, which is your weapon, has gone eerily silent on this all-important matter. I would have liked to see a more concerted and sustained action from you. Sadly, that has not been the case. Galamsey doesn't make the headlines anymore, and yet the country is experiencing the ravages of this terrible phenomenon every day. The alarming increase in kidney and liver diseases, the increase in children born with deformities, and the alarming infant mortality rates in the areas affected by Galamsey activities appear not to merit your sustained concern. What a shame. What a pity. As journalists, the times we live in beckon you to remember your purpose, your power, and your responsibility. Let me just say this. The price of your continued silence is too grave to fathom. Mr. Chairman, it is in this moment of reflection and anticipation that the immortal words of Ephraim Amos composition, Yen Ara Assassini, resound with unparalleled relevance. The composition resonates today deeply. Its message of patriotism, stewardship, and unity echoes the ideals that all of us must champion. As guardians of the public conscience, you are called to rise above the fray, to champion the cause of truth, justice, and national unity.